Good morning and welcome to the Green Country Gardener program with our expert, Larry Glass. Stay tuned for a free hour of fun and free advice to make that garden and that lawn look great. The Green Country Gardener program is brought to you by Green Thumb Nurseries and Greenhouses, Peter's True Value Hardware, Kelly Banks Tree Service, and United Rentals. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hear army worms, travel on their stomach, but we'll get to that here in a second. It is 8:09. How you doing there, Larry?
No, that's not army worms. You're just hungry.
When am I not?
Anyway, golly, it's the heat of the summer, of course, as we all know. And we have to be very careful about how we work outside and make sure to hydrate.
Oh, indeedy.
Don't wait till you're thirsty to go out. And then drink water. Go out then before you do it, and then as you go on, maintain that water level.
Do a little sipping.
And I kind of forgot about that on Thursday.
That's what happened to you.
Yeah, but anyway, Friday I was fine because I drank a lot of water before I went out to did the work, and then I did fine, and then as I was going along and drinking water. The city water didn't taste that bad.
No,
turn on the faucet and drink it right out of
it. It beats going face down in the dirt, doesn't it?
Back in the 60s, we used to do that. I didn't think a thing of it. Drink the water right out of the faucet. Now these people, go, oh my gosh, you're drinking out of the hose? I got the strangest looks from my employees. You're drinking out of the hose?
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's
there. Yeah, I did that when I was a kid. Didn't hurt me.
No.
So anyway.
Came in handy, too.
So that's the one thing. You can still do the work outside, but be careful and don't try to overdo it. We have hot weather protocols at the nursery. Mm-hmm. So we kind of kick off a little bit early in the day, just so we don't get burned out by the cold too much.
Yeah.
Because anyway, right now it's time to maybe start beginning to think about putting pre-emergent on your beds for the fall weeds.
Really?
Now? Yes.
That time of year.
A pre-emergent has a 3-month lifespan.
Oh, it does. Okay.
This is August and September, October. September, October is the time when the winter weeds and stuff starts to sprout. Winter weeds, I'm talking about things like chickweed and all that stuff too. So you want to go ahead and be proactive on that too. And always another thing we want to be concerned about now is watering properly. We have people coming in with pictures of their plants. One of them's dead from too much water, and one of them's dead from not enough water.
But they're both dead.
Well, the one with not enough water typically will survive okay.
And
said, just start, and then she zoomed out, and saw the grass around it was all brown. I said, you're not giving it enough water. Mm-hmm. So, and another rule in watering is, I tell people, water in the morning.
That's important.
It's very important, because a lot of people leave their hoses out in the yard, on the driveway or something, it gets very, very hot.
You're cooking your plants.
And if you leave the hose out, well, I'll just put the hose out there and leave it on the plant. I turn on the faucet, you know. Yeah, if you do it in the afternoon, the water's really, really hot. And you're going to cook the plant. Yeah, steam. Nothing's better than steamed azaleas. So the thing is, now when you get a new plant, all the roots are right there in this little root ball.
Yep.
And it's going to dry out a lot faster than the rest. And also the ground is really, we planted a tree yesterday and told her this. When we were digging the hole, the ground was like, you know, a bag of flour.
That dry, huh?
Yeah. And what's going to happen is through diffusion, the water from the plant, from the tree, is going to be drawn into the soil. Mm-hmm. Because it has a tendency to equalize. Moisture levels tend to be somewhat equalization going on with this diffusion process. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take the water away from plants. So you have to be very conscientious of the water around the plant and also the water around the yard. Well, I used my irrigation system. Well, it had just run this morning, but it was dry still.
Yeah.
So anyway. So just be careful with it. And look at the plant, too. It's better to underwater it slightly. Look at the condition of the leaves and all that. If they begin to wilt, water really heavily. Mm-hmm. And typically that's what I do when I plant new stuff at my house. Unless I've had a very busy week, then I come back and it's just dead.
Hey,
but anyway, you kind of look at this plant and you water it when it begins to wilt. And then when you water it, water it really, really heavily. And let it get a little bit dry in between waterings. It's very, very important. And the most, people mostly relate watering to a time schedule.
They do.
And that is not the way to water.
No.
You need to water based on the condition of the soil around the plant, the size of the plant, and the type of the plant also. So there's really no given time frame you can do it to water. And if I try to tell that to them, I just give up and say, okay, twice a week real heavily. So anyway, so look for the signs of the plant. It'll tell you. So anyway, fertilize your grass only when the levels are good in the soil. When the moisture levels are good, rather, in the soil, you want to fertilize your grass. Because fertilizer works through diffusion, and it has to go migrate through the soil through the diffusion of the material into the soil. Mm-hmm. So it has to be, the soil level, moisture level has to be adequate before you can fertilize.
Got it.
It's still time to plant Bermuda seed, but get rather busy on it because September is the last time you want to do that. Bermuda grass really likes the heat. So if you want to plant some Bermuda seed, better get after it because we're running out of time. Here it is, the 21st. And September is getting a little too late for that. So you've got a little bit of time. It takes 10 days for the Bermuda grass to sprout. And in doing so, you have to put a sprinkler out there in the middle and run it maybe 3 times a day for just to keep the moisture levels up.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it'll never do anything. So
it'll just lay there.
I don't know if very many people right now at this time of year who are trying to grow Bermuda grass. Usually, they want to do that in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And but sometimes it's too early for that. So May is May, June, July, and August are the times you want to do Bermuda seed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're too late, another way to do it is to sprig it. You take chunks of sod and
I gotcha.
And prepare your soil a little bit and just
plug.
Plug.
Kind of like what my bald-headed uncle did. Did that with hair.
I guess so. That'll work too, wouldn't it? How often does he fertilize his hair? Anyway, when I was younger, we did that on a housing project here in town.
Mm-hmm.
We went out to the field and dug up some native Bermuda grass and plugged it. It did great.
Worked fine,
yeah. And it was hot. Man, it was hot that year. I think it was 1978 or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was 3 months of hot weather.
Ooh.
with no wind, no clouds. Like 100 days of over 100 degree weather.
Nice oven you got there, huh?
Yeah, anyway, the grass did great. So it's still there, too.
Had to get tougher not.
Yeah, but you have to make sure to water it.
You
got to
make sure you toughen you it bet. Up, yeah.
Okay, it's also it's time to plant turnips.
Mm-hmm.
Turnips do very well in the cooler weather,
mm-hmm.
which is around the corner. And about the middle of September, our weather really starts to change.
Mm-hmm.
Summer tries very, very hard to just hang on. This next week, summer's going to really try hard just to hang on. I don't want to give up yet.
No.
But anyway, right about the first middle of September, it finally gives up the ghost and gets some decent weather. So anyway, it's time. If you don't plant your turnips right now, it's a good idea to get that soil ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who likes turnips? You know anybody likes them?
I do.
Anyway, pruning also, I mentioned this before in the past, it's time to prune back some trees and things.
Mm-hmm.
But be conscious of your spring flowering plants. Don't cut them back.
No, you'll regret it.
And also on your crepe myrtles, the expired flowers on your crepe myrtles, they have these little seed heads. You can cut them off. And chances are it'll continue to bloom and put on some more blooms while the days are still long.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the first week or so in September, the days are getting too short and it won't initiate new blooms.
Mm-hmm.
So we're running out of time for that. So most crepe myrtles that I see that were killed back by the cold have come back rather nicely. I know mine in the front of my house, which is a very stately 15 feet tall.
Yeah, hello.
Went all the way to the ground. Wow. And now it's about 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And it's got a really nice display of blooms on it. And then when it goes dormant, I'm going to go in and thin out some of those branches to try to retain some degree of a tree form, crepe myrtle, and let it go back up. And it'll get to be a real nice tree. Then it'll happen again.
They're a little high maintenance sometimes.
But anyway, so I noticed some really good blossoms on the crepe myrtles this year. So I haven't seen a whole lot of crepe myrtle scale. It's been a bad problem in the past, but I haven't seen a whole lot of it this year, really. It's not as bad a problem as it was last year. So I think it might be the cold, perhaps, that might have
taken care of that for this year. Anyway,
this year. So anyway, we want to be conscious of that next year. Another thing on people's mind are army worms.
Do army worms travel on their stomach?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, they put your lawn in your stomach.
They just now, chow it down, man.
Now, things like Bermuda grass and Zoysia grass, you don't have to worry so much about it because they don't eat the stolons or the roots on that. Fescue grass, though, if you have a fescue lawn, you want to be concerned about army worms, and you want to look at it very closely. They're sort of a grayish insect with a grayish-greenish, kind of army green sort of color, with a longitudinal stripe down the middle.
Yeah, it looked kind of snaky to me.
So they can be a bit of a problem on the yard, but Bermuda and fescue lawns, or Bermuda and Zoysia lawns, I don't worry about them too much because it'll come back. I haven't done a thing to it in my yard, and it looks fine. Of course, my grass is so dry now from all the drought, probably don't attack it anyway.
Oh, my.
But I really haven't seen any infestations of army worms on Zoysia. It seems like they don't like it. There is some degree of susceptibility in Zoysia grass, but they don't seem to want to go after it as much as, say, they do the fescue grass. So.
Got it.
Those of you with fescue lawns, you need to be very conscientious of this. And I've done some reading on it, and they say you can use some dish soap and water your yard with dish soap and soak it in real good, and it'll come to the surface. And then you can zing them with some pesticide. Now, pesticide that I've had my customers use on many occasions is a spinosad.
Works and pretty good.
It's very effective. It's organic. And it knocks them out really, really quickly. So you can use that, not being too harmful on the on the environment. Be just very careful because the monarchs, in parallel to the army worms, are also laying their little eggs and got little larvae everywhere, but most of the monarchs are elevated somewhat. So be very careful when you apply this stuff not to get it up into your shrubs
careful.
And things. Especially if you do have, say, a butterfly garden, per se, you might want to have an area around it where, so what if the army worms eat it? You can plant some fescue seed in the fall.
Demony.
But we want to try to preserve the monarch and other butterfly species, too. So be very very conscious of that when you do apply it on there. To do it during the still time of the day where there's not a lot of wind. And be very specific with your applications, just so it doesn't wander off into areas where you don't want the pesticide to go.
Exactly.
There are also a lot of beneficial insects out there, too. Praying mantis, etc. And typically, they're not down inside the grass, so just be aware of that, too.
Just remember, with praying mantis may look menacing and stuff like that, but it's also eating bugs that are...
Yeah,
get rid of anyway, so they're helping you.
Also, the birds and whatnot eat the army worms too. That maybe that's why they don't have a lot of army worms. They got a backyard full of birds.
Same here.
It's just I've got all these shrubs and plants that planted to give them food and seeds and whatnot to eat, and it just the hummingbirds are just going crazy. They're all but anyway, so. Just be aware of that when you're doing that. And if you have Bermuda grass and you got a few army worms, it's not really that big a deal. It'll come back. But if you really have to get rid of them, probably one of the better methods might be a granular insecticide where you put it in your spreader and spread around there, and it'll
take care of it. Do what it's got to do.
But no matter what methodology you choose, you're not going to get 100% of it. So if you can just control it, that would be good enough. But if you have fescue lawns, be very aware of what's going on with it. And you might want to act proactively, perhaps, to control that.
Got it. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with the Green Country Garden Program. And, of course, you've got the phone line right there. So if you have a question, we will do our best to answer it. Larry will. I'll just pick up the phone. It is 1-800-749-5936. Back after this 2-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. We have 24-hour service, so if you get a piece of equipment from United Rentals and it breaks down on you, one of two things is going to happen. We're going to have somebody out there relatively quickly that's either going to get the machine up and running, or they're going to say, hey, this is catastrophic. We need to go get another piece of equipment. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 No Water Road, United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
It's Green Thunder's Green Greenhouse's sizzling summer sale. Take 50% off at the register on roses, herbs, and 4.5 and 4-inch pots of annuals. Take 30% off all perennials, astables, crepe myrtles, hardy ferns, hostas, Japanese maple trees, butterfly bushes, ceramic pots, and fountains. The sales are hot, and you'll save some cool cash during the Green Thumb's sizzling summer sale. Green Thunder's Green Greenhouse's on the Water Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Because not everyone is staying safe at home, your afternoon essential is still here.
There's still a lot of work ahead.
Arrive home informed weekdays starting at 5 with Garrett Giles News, sports with Max Gross and Ty Loftus. It's The Drive at 5.
Giving you all the essentials.
I need it. Oh my God.
K1, AM 1400, FM 93.3 and 95.1.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:25. Your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass, our resident expert, he knows all this stuff. I just kind of hang around and learn, just like everybody else does.
You bet. Got? As far as planting stuff right now, it's a little early for mums, so get the ground ready. Some of the mass marketers will be starting to carry those here in the next couple of weeks, but it's too early to plant them. The problem is when you get them in bloom, when the time comes for them to be in bloom, the blooms will be over.
Yeah,
they like a cool weather plant, you know. And yeah, you can get them all, you plant them all day long in the heat, but they're not going to do as well. Anyway, we got a caller.
We might hear in a moment.
Okay. Well, anyway, get the ground ready for your mums. Okay, put them on. Sure.
Hi. Good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. You're on the air with Larry.
Good morning. Hey, I have a sort of an experiment going. And maybe you can tell me what's going to happen. I've been trying to get a start of a crepe myrtle, and I have not had much luck sprouting them. So last year I collected seed. I have two seedlings that I've raised up and planted in the yard. I was wondering, do the seeds on crepe myrtle come up true?
Probably not. Because those are F2 hybrids, and what you're going to probably wind up with is kind of a maroonish, reddish color, maybe kind of a lavender reddish color on the crepe myrtle, which is fine. I mean, and it should bloom okay, but it won't be the same color, more than likely.
Well, shoot. I was hoping for the same color.
Yeah. The only way to really get the same color is to clone it. Send in the clones, yes. Now, one method of cloning. Go ahead.
I was trying to, cut green shoots in the spring and put them in a potting. Well, dip them in a powdered hormone solution and put them in a cup of potting soil.
Right.
And keeping them moist, I kept a plastic bag loosely over top of them to keep the moisture, the humidity level up. But I've tried that 2 years now, and I have not had good luck.
Right. Yeah, a lot of the crepe myrtles are cloned by tissue culture, where they take just a, and it's done in these big old laboratories in the Philippines, and they can just mass produce these things. But tissue culture is when they take a section of a leaf or a small section of stem and then propagate it under the, you know, sterile conditions and so on. Another way to propagate them is called air layering, where if you have a sprout that comes on the side of it, you can perhaps bend it down so it's underground for a while, you know, for a length of time, or a length of the stem, actually. Mm-hmm. And then air layer it that way, so where it's still on the mother plant, but it'll go ahead and root when it's underground. You can make some longitudinal small cuts in it and use a rooting hormone, and then put it on the ground, underground like that, and it'll, chances are it'll go ahead and root.
Well, I may go get me some more shoots this fall, mm-hmm. and maybe try sprouting them again next spring, but I'll let you know what I get out of these two.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Now, I had some do it kind of on their own at my house. I had this giant crepe myrtle that was about, you know, it was 15 feet tall, but now it's about 4 feet tall.
Whoops.
I had these other crepe from the seed. They just came up in the ground, and they really weren't very showy, so I just kind of threw them out. But so they will do that. They will come up from seed around, and typically it's kind of a lavenderish, reddish color when they do bloom, so they're not overly attractive. But you never know. You might get one that has some a little bit of a genetic material in it, and it might be a new color.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I'll let you know.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for your call, and you're listening to the Green Country Gardener program right here on your favorite radio station. We're going to take a very quick break, and we'll be right back after this two-minute timeout.
Peters True Value and Dewey's August Bargains of the Month include Filtreat Ultra Allergen Furnace Filters for $14.99, a savings of $6. It seems nowadays everything takes batteries. Head to Peters True Value and pick up alkaline Duracell batteries in 16 packs of double or triple A for $12.99 per pack. Another bargain of the month is Pennzoil 1-quart motor oil, just $3.99 per quart, but only at Peters True Value in Dewey.
You look nice. How was work?
Well, it was fourth period civics.
The kids were giving me the third degree. Was a UFO seen hovering over Washington, D.C.? Was a fisherman attacked by a 320-pound shrimp? They'd been bitten by the fake news bug, all right, and it was holding on like a driver's ed student to a steering wheel. How was I going to get a bunch of wide-eyed kids to wise up about what they see on the Internet? Then it hit me. Like a dodgeball on field day. The name of the game was News Snoops. Each student got an article and 2 minutes to decide if it was credible or a fake. They were able to use fact-checking sites to get the cold, hard truth. Now the little hotshots are even teaching their gullible grannies a thing or two about phony news. But how was your day?
Pretty good. I got a new title today. Office Birthday Party Planner.
Oh, fun.
Teachers just have better work stories. If you want a creative, collaborative job worth talking about, head to teach.org. Brought to you by teach.org.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. And our phone lines are open, believe it or not, at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass, what have we got next on the agenda?
Well, we're talking about heat stress on plants here in the past. And the plants are really showing a bit of heat and drought stress right now. And
a little.
Just remember how much they cost when you plant them. So you want to take care of them. Yeah. And really, your plants may recover into the fall. But we have a winner ahead of us, too. So, who?
Yeah. Unlikely for a zinger, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Water is still fairly inexpensive here. Yeah. So anyway, it's a lot less expensive on... And water specifically. Well, we put shrubs... I've got a sprinkler system. Well, you have to run it and run it and run it in order to target that small area where the plants are. So, really, my advice to people is if you have a sprinkler system, that's fine.
That's great.
But... You want to water your new plants in the root ball until you know, for a couple of weeks, until the roots get out into that soil. Then the sprinkler system will work. Because really, it puts out to get an inch of water on a sprinkler in a given area on a sprinkler system, just 1 inch, it takes a lot of water. And people's plants are dried out. Well, I water them with the sprinkler system. Well, that's not enough.
No.
Not on the new plants. No. Once they're established, once they have a root system in that bed, once they have a root system established, sprinkler systems are just fine. Mm-hmm. So specific watering is very important on your new plants. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, really hot. We got some specials at the nursery. Stuff on sale.
Oh, stuff on sale.
Stuff on sale, yeah. So come check
stuff
it out.
Stuff on sale.
Stuff like ceramic pots and some selected perennials, 4-inch perennials are on sale, 30% off. So, so anyway, it's coming up in the fall, so you might want to consider getting some perennials right now. They're at a good price, but it's kind of hot, so be conscious of the watering. Also, it's time to plan for your landscape. So, I was out yesterday at somebody's house and did a landscape plan for them, and I've got to get it all lettered up and priced out, ready to ship out on the email. So that's a good way of communication is through the email, and we do a lot of that, sending out PDFs or JPEGs of your drawing and your estimate and all that. So anyway, so that's always time to plan ahead. Mm-hmm. Right now, the landscape crew is really, we're just booked up really tight, so it'll be hard for us to get to something right away.
Understood.
So you want to make sure to plan ahead, and it's been kind of slow because of the heat. We haven't really progressed as fast as we want to, but that happens.
Mm-hmm.
We're humans, okay? Anyway, yes, we have some new dwarf plants in too. New dwarf nandinas and some abelias that came in 2 days ago.
Ah.
Really nice looking stuff. Finally, some really nice dwarf nandinas. Mm-hmm. Dwarf nandina is kind of a workhorse in the landscape.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to grow and so reliable and so bug-free. And the fall color, the winter color can't be beat on those too. So we got a big old bunch of those in right now. Mm-hmm. So you might think about later on. Not right now, man.
Not now, man.
But a little bit later on. We have to get these in while they're available.
Got it.
So anyway... So anyway, we're getting some new trees in, too. We're going to be getting some really nice-looking. Gary went out and picked out some really nice Chinese pistache trees.
Ooh.
They're coming in, too. So the fall's looking really bright. So we've sold a lot of trees this year. Our tree line's just about empty. So
I was going to say.
We did very well with that this year.
There were Saturdays where you were up into the teens planting trees right as soon as you got done here. It's like, oh, I got another 12 or 15 or 16 or 20 to plant.
Yeah,
and,
I got two of them to deliver today.
Visit, but hey.
So anyway, so that's so fall's looking really good. We've had some difficulty getting some plant materials.
A lot of people are having shortages.
I'm having a hard time getting sprinkler parts this year. Golly.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, so retaining wall blocks, too, they're getting kind of difficult, too. Yeah. Especially when the Flyer's truck breaks down.
Well, that's never fun.
So anyway, you get so with all that in mind, it'll be soon time to think about fescue seed.
Got it.
After the armyworms have eaten up your lawn, you might want to reseed. And typically, the end of August is the first time when you want to consider planting fescue seed.
Understood.
Because cool weather's on the way. And really, it'll sprout and come up when it's warm like this. As long as it cools down while the grass seed is transitioning from the fine hair stage to the hard, to the broadleaf stage on your grasses. As long as it's cool, then it'll be all right.
Got it.
Seems to do okay, and some of the five-star does pretty well in the clay, but it can be rather thin in the clay, so soil prep is very important.
Got it.
I was meeting with somebody this week about establishing fescue seed, and they have a very difficult lawn. Can't get it to grow. And I said, we had one yard we did over in Woodland Park. And it was very heavy. They tried for 10 years to get grass to grow. Nothing would happen. So, okay, give me a chance and see what we can do. We took 100 bags of compost, blended it in with the soil.
Mm.
So they invested, $800 in compost. Not that big a deal. We worked it into the soil, and of course we installed the sprinkler system too.
That helps.
and the grass did great. And that was 12 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it's still doing fine. You have to get the soil loose enough for the roots to go down into there to get that good deep water.
Mm-hmm.
Our soil here has a tendency, it's got a lot of silt and clay in it, it has a tendency to compact.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, the soil becomes anaerobic, and the root system dies out, and it becomes very shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And the grass just sort of dies out because it can't get enough water. No matter how much you water it, it really can't get enough because the root system has been compromised by a lack of air in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to do your preparation, too. If you're really serious about having a fescue lawn, you really want to do some ground prep with it, too. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up, too. So, recommended variety I like is the Five Star. We've had good luck with that. It has five different varieties of seed in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a good blend.
Something's got to take.
Yeah, really, one of them's got to work. But anyway, it makes a really nice looking lawn because uh-huh. there's different textures in it, kind of uniformly in space, and it makes a really good lawn. It's not a real coarse playground grass mm-hmm. look to it, and it's not a real fine look. It's somewhere in between.
Okay.
And using a blend like that will usually pan out to be a really good situation because mm-hmm. you got varying quantities of light and so on.
Interesting.
And that'll let them sort of mm-hmm. diverse out that way. But anyway, also it's very important on fescue grass to begin fertilizing in September, October, November, and even early December on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And then in the wintertime you can cut back, and then February it really, really starts to grow, late February or so. February, March, April, and first part of May is when you really want to fertilize a fescue grass. Don't worry about it right now. You don't want to try to push it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Take it easy on it. Mow it. Make sure it's mowed really, really tall.
Got it.
Put training wheels on the mower.
That's what they look like when you...
but anyway, this time of year, it's not really growing too much. It's dormant.
Yeah.
So don't expect a lot of enthusiasm out of your fescue grass.
Got it.
Okay. So that's kind of it with lawns right now.
Tell you what, it's a good time to take a little bit of a break, and we will do that. Okay. And we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program after this 2-minute timeout.
Green Greenhouse's sizzling summer sale. Take 50% off at the register on roses, herbs, and 4.5 and 4-inch pots of annuals. Take 30% off all perennials, astables, crepe myrtles, hardy ferns, hostas, Japanese maple trees, butterfly bushes, ceramic pots, and fountains. The sales are hot, and you'll save some cool cash during the Green Thumb's sizzling summer sale. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I thought it was going to be a piece of cake. I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military.
I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I was an MP, military police.
My friends thought I could do anything.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I was overwhelmed.
I couldn't sleep.
I just wanted to be by myself.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
I was too proud. And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too.
Right?
I started to open up.
And it made a huge difference.
So I reached out and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Because before I was able to take on my next mission, I had to take on just taking care of myself.
To find
purpose.
go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:43, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. And Larry is our expert, of course, Larry Glass. And what's next on our agenda today?
Well, we talk about planting plants and everything, and watering and army worms and
yes.
grass seed and all that. Let's talk about weeds in the landscape.
Weeds, man.
There are three ways to control weeds: physical pulling, chemical control, and mulching.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to use all three, depending on the weeds.
Well, it depends. Yeah, some of these weeds just don't go. They don't go down willing.
They don't really. You have to watch. I got to do it, some of that things. In my yard, too.
Oh, boy.
I had an outbreak of fatua, which is a...
Ahua?
Yeah, a weed.
Oh, okay.
It comes up 2 weeks into its growth. It's already putting out seeds.
Oh, that's just malicious.
Yeah, and it's a weed that has... it's from Japan. It has a little scalloped leaf on it, and it has these little... flowers are real tiny, insignificant, and the seeds just pop out.
Well, that's a violation.
Really. And I've had pretty good luck experimenting with it this year, controlling it with, chemically controlling it with the pre-emergent.
Oh, good.
Dimension's really good for that. Works real well for that. And I do get a little bit of recurrence in one area. In one area where I didn't treat, I've got it, and it's hard to control. But it's been good. Just had a few of them come up this year without any problems. Another way to control this particular weed, and a lot of weeds, is a good heavy layer of mulch. Of course,
mulch?
I guess I'm a little too frugal this year. I didn't put any mulch on my front beds.
What?
Yeah, I know. No time.
Hey.
But anyway.
You're busy taking care of everybody else.
Exactly. My yard's the last thing to be taken care of. Brown spots and whatnot.
Larry, what's that? I don't know. I just come home to visit.
But anyway, I've had good luck with this pre-emergent control, and it works very well. But mulching is a very effective way, and how much you put mulch on is retroactive with its ability to control the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
About a 3-inch layer. It might sound a little excessive, but that's what's necessary in order to control the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
You do get some side benefits of that much. You don't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take as much water because it doesn't evaporate off the surface of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So mulching is a good way to control weeds.
There it is.
So anyway, that leads us to our tree of the week, which is Diospyros virginiana.
Well, that's got some letters in it.
Yeah, that's the persimmon tree.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's generally not commercially available. And you can identify a persimmon tree when it's not in bloom or having flowers on it.
How do you identify a persimmon tree when it's not in bloom?
It has a kind of a real rough bark on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like little tiny cubes all over it.
Oh.
And it's sort of dark in color.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost vertically associated, but it's in some cases it can be really kind of a uniform. And in other words, the positioning of the fissures in the bark typically are very spontaneous. They don't follow any kind of pattern or anything.
Uh-huh.
And you can identify them with by its very rough bark. And its leaf also has a very dark green leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And with kind of a pale underside of it, and generally elliptical in shape and rather smooth. But anyway, the bark is associated into distinctive, regular square blocks.
Ah, I gotcha.
So they're kind of cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
The flowers are inconspicuous, and this particular tree is dioecious, meaning you have a male and female on separate plants. And the females are the one, of course, I have the persimmons on it, which people kind of like, which are not any good till we've had a good freeze.
Yes.
And also, the seed of the persimmon, if you open it up, if you have a knife or a spoon, it'll predict the weather for the winter.
How cool is that?
That is pretty cool.
Indeed.
Yeah. Statistically, it's pretty square on, but you never know about our weather here.
And you know, I wasted all that time and money going to school to be a meteorologist.
Yeah,
gravy.
Get out your click beetles and your persimmon seeds. You know exactly what's going to happen.
The slide rule in the computer, you know. And golly,
so anyway.
I wasted so much time in math class.
But these in the wilderness, in the wild, they tend to colonize. In other words, the roots go out, and you have sprouts coming up from the roots, and they tend to form a bit of a bramble in the wild. So if you're tromping through the woods and you see this this bark with regular square blocks on it, it's not a bunch of Rubik's cubes. No, it's the shape of the bark. those are persimmon trees, or Diospyros virginiana. What I like about these is they're very drought tolerant, and the fall color's pretty nice on them too, and they're kind of a novelty. But they're not considered very ornamental, but they are kind of a nice plant. Mm-hmm. Some people really like them. So, and the persimmons really, they're kind of bitter really, until they we've had a good freeze when they're fully ripe. So they make a good jelly too. So there are cultivars out there. Yeah, well, the plum jelly turned out. So I need to bring a jar of that. I keep forgetting.
You're good. Trust me.
Yeah, okay. It did really well this year.
I know there's none left.
There are some seedless cultivars and cold hardiness and disease resistance are built into some of the hybrids too. So anyway, we got a caller?
I believe we do here. And, of course, our number is 1-800-749-5936. And you're on the air, and you're talking with Larry. Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Hey, I missed the first part of the persimmon tree conversation, but when's a good time to plant them, and where can we purchase them at?
Well, you might be able to get them online. I think you can probably get them through Stark Brothers. Generally, they're not available in the commercial nursery stock, you know, venues, if you will. Planting them early spring, good time.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for calling. Mm-hmm. But, I said, when you get the persimmon, make sure you get a pollinator. Because they are dioecious.
Oh, yeah. You got to get a boy and a girl.
They got to have a pollinator. They're dioecious, so you got to have a pollinator. Otherwise, you won't get any fruit.
Yeah, you just get a good-looking tree.
Yeah, really. Ooh.
Hey, it's single.
Anyway, my plum did, I had one. I got 7 fruit trees. Only one produced any fruit.
Hell no.
And we had a bumper crop of plums on it and made the best plum jelly with.
It makes a difference when you don't have those hailstorms, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So, we got a caller, do we, or what?
I believe we do.
All right.
And good morning. Hi, you're on with the Green Country Gardener.
Yes, thank you. Will the fescue come back from the army worms, or would it need to be reseeded?
It depends on the severity of the infestation, really. If they didn't get down too far with it, it'll come back. But look at your fescue and see how far down they go with it, with their gnawing away at it. But yeah, it'll more than likely come back. It's more of a nuisance, really.
Okay.
On that, but
thank you.
But check it out. Look at your grass very carefully. Do you still see some green on it? Yes. And if you still have bagworms and you still have some green, not bagworms. If you still have armyworms and you still have some grass green on your grass, you might want to do something about them.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Oh, I appreciate it. We're going to have to take this one
that works. Just soapy water.
Spray it with Dawn.
Spray it with Dawn soap. Yeah. It smothers them out.
It's easy.
Yeah. Cheap.
89 cents. You're done. 8:51. We're going to be back right after this 2-minute timeout. And after we cash a check from Procter & Gamble for promoting Dawn.
In 1930, Frank Phillips received a very special gift from some very dear friends. During a ceremony surrounded by 1,500 guests, Frank was adopted into the Osage tribe by Chief Fred Lookout and given the name of Eagle Chief by the Osage. This marked the first time that the Osage had ever adopted a white person into their tribe. Chief Lookout gave the newest Osage chief the gift of a pony, a saddle, and a single eagle feather. The saddle had been in Lookout's family for over 100 years. Frank Phillips received a telegram from a famous man and dear friend saying, "Sorry I can't make it. The Osage were always the smartest Indians in America. There are 120 million white men, and they pick out the best one to make an Osage chief. Best regards to all Osages, including Frank, from the renegade Cherokee, Will Rogers. That kind of magic still happens every day at Willow Rock. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C, but most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
Right now, it's time to get back to the show. It is the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass from Green Thumb Nursery. What you got for us there?
Okay, we talked about our tree of the week, which is the persimmon tree.
You got to get two.
Yeah, if you want
a girl.
Yeah, they should have a pollinator, yes. But and give it lots of room, too.
Yeah.
And so be prepared for the tent caterpillars. They love them. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. Yeah. So, anyway, back on we talked about spraying soapy water on the army worms.
Yep.
It'll work on the ones that are there, but they tend to move around a lot. So, you'll have to repeat applications.
Rinse, lather, and repeat.
Rinse, lather, and repeat. And you use don't use pure soap. It can be difficult to distribute. It's kind of thick. So, if you have a hose-in sprayer, a lot of people do, you put about one-third soap, Dawn soap, to water and fill up the little tank that goes underneath it, and then spray it, put it on max, and then just zing it away. I wash my car with one of those. It's cool.
Yeah, it is.
Soap in there.
Tough on worms, soft on ducks.
That's there you, right. There you go. So anyway, that leads us to Shrub of the Week, which is dwarf yaupon holly.
Yep.
The dwarf yaupon holly is a very it's a symmetrical, dense, rounded form of yaupon holly, which requires only infrequent pruning and to maintain its 2 to 4 foot height and spread.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long, wordy sentence, but anyway, it's ideally suited for low-growing foundation plants. And dwarf yaupon holly is also good for a tall ground cover for large-scale commercial, industrial landscapes, and so on and so on. It can be sheared into a formal hedge. You can make little ducks and snakes and what out of it, out of this plant, if you want to. The topiaries works very well for that too. The Nana has no spines, and this cultivar rarely produces flowers and so on. It grows well in full sun to light shade in soils from dry to wet. Dwarf yaupon holly withstands drought when established, and is highly salt tolerant, making it ideally suited for seaside plantings. Went to Kitty Hawk and saw yaupon hollies growing in the sand dunes over there. So that's kind of cool.
But anyway, that was cool.
The important thing with dwarf yaupon holly is it can get too tall. And I've got some in my house that are 30 years old, and they're only about a foot and a half tall. Every spring I get with the electric hedge clippers.
Give it a haircut.
And just cut them down to the nibs.
Oh, boy.
Poor things. But right now they look really, really nice and small little compact bushes.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been there, you know, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different varieties of this plant, too. The one I really like is the Bordeaux. It tends to be a little darker in color.
What does that pair with?
Oh, yeah. Prime rib, yes. But anyway. But this plant is pretty good over here because of its tolerance of our drought and so on. And But this last winter, we lost some of them.
Oh.
I didn't lose any of mine, but some people lost their dwarf yaupons. Some of them just got damaged real bad, And the thing with it is that the dwarf yaupon honey gets damaged pretty bad for the winter. You just cut it back really low, it'll come back.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty resilient, aren't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They are. One thing I like to do with mine is iron sulfate in the spring, FeSO4. It darkens the color real well. The dwarf yaupon and the yaupon holly by nature have a kind of an olive green color.
Mm-hmm.
And to get that really deep green color, it benefits from iron. And it also makes the plant a little healthier because hollies generally do like mm-hmm. a fair amount of iron in the soil for them to do rather well. The dwarf yaupon holly is kind of brittle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the house painted, they're going to break them all up, but they'll come back. So anyway, dwarf yaupon holly is kind of a workhouse in the landscape. I like to use them for foundation plantings and all that with the premise that they will get pretty good size over time. You have mm-hmm. to, and if they get out of hand, you can just cut them back. They'll come back just fine.
They'll be fine.
So once you get them established, they do really well. For them to survive the winters here, we have these extraordinary cold spells mm-hmm. in the winter. You want to make sure they're well mulched and well watered going into the winter. Mm-hmm. That way they'll survive real well. If you don't do that, then you're going to lose some of them. And we also have parts of them in the winter that die out.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of, a little section of it will just die out. I've had that problem with mine too. I just go in there with that glove on my hand, just kind of rip it out and they fill in. But they're pretty tough plants, really. They have very few pests. The only one they have is a little caterpillar in the spring. But usually they're growing when that caterpillar comes around. They mm-hmm. grow around and just fine too. So they're kind of easy-going plants, easy mm-hmm. to grow. And so I like to use them in the landscape for several situations.
There you go.
Anyway, come by the nursery and check it out. We've got all kinds of stuff coming in right now. Mm-hmm. Fall is on its way. We're having some mums in. Too early for that, though.
Mm-hmm.
In about 30 days or so, we'll be in good shape on mums. Mm-hmm. We still have a selection of annuals and herbs and our tropical houseplants. We have a great selection of tropical houseplants, too. Some of them rare and unusual. So you might want to come check those out, too. Good selection of those also.
Very good.
And for those little critters eating up your yard, you might want to come check out what we have as far as insecticides are concerned. We have a lot of organic insecticides out there that really work too. But remember, in working your garden, make